What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection Podcast, where we look at the craft of songwriting through the eyes of the songwriter. Each week, we make a connection with a music maker, listen to their songs, and hear their stories. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Letehan.
Well, if you're Irish like me, and even if you're not, you may have had this Sunday circled on your calendar for a while because it's St. Patrick's Day. How about that? Oh, you know, with a name like Lenihan, we celebrate, you know, absolutely. And today we're going to make a connection with the folks in Ireland. I've got a Dublin singer, a songwriter with us, and welcome to Colm Gavin, who's on the phone. How are you, Colm?
You know, I knew when I heard that last name, this guy's got Irish blood in him somewhere.
You better believe it. You know, my family, I guess, came from around the Limerick area around there. And although I've never been, and it's on my bucket list, I want to visit there. My father visited there not too long ago, and he tells me that there is actually a Lenihan's pub there in Limerick, and he had a pint there. And he said, he talked to the owner, he said, hey, there's no doubt we're related. We look alike. So someday, someday, baby. Let me ask you, Colm, before we get to it, what's it like to celebrate St. Patrick's Day in Ireland?
It's hectic. It's a bit like everywhere you go, Dave, feels like Times Square. You can't swing a cat without hitting a tourist. And we don't do the green beer thing that the likes of Chicago and places like that do. But
well, I think that's sacrilegious to beer myself. I don't do the green beer either now. That's not Irish. That's not an Irish thing.
I've never had it myself, but I understand where they're coming from with the novelty, you know.
I get it. Everybody's got to be green on St. Patrick's Day. So it's wild. It's a wild party. I'll bet it is, huh?
It is. And, you know, I suppose our national beverage, Guinness, needs a little bit of time to sit. And sometimes if you're in a pub where it's just flowing, it can get a little bit warm, and that's a situation that nobody wants to be in. So it's a hectic day.
I bet you it's a big day for musicians, too. Music all over, right?
Yeah, well, particularly, you know, in Dublin anyway, Temple Bar, which would be thronged with musicians of all descriptions anyway, it is around the clock type of party. The one day of the year where it's the city that never sleeps, you know?
I got you. Wow. Well, let's tell you a little bit about our guest today. Colm Gavin is from Dublin, and he is signed to BEO Records. Is that how you say BEO? BEO?
So it's an Irish word, and it's an Irish word that means live, so like live music, and it's pronounced B-O.
B-O. B-O.
So as if you were saying, as if you were saying yo, but with a B in front of it. Yeah.
Got it. And that is the home of the first lady of Celtic music, Moya Brennan, who, she's sister of Enya, right?
She is indeed, yeah.
Wow. And it's her label that you're with?
It is indeed, yeah.
How long have you been with her and with them?
I signed with BEO Records in the Christmas of 2015. And effectively, for quite a while. And initially, it was set up so that Moya could distribute her own music. And it's her husband, Tim, who kind of is at the helm with BEO Records. But they've been like family to me ever since, Dave. And even with this most recent release, they will cut every corner, but they'll turn over every stone to try and help and to make the process as smooth as possible. They're great people.
I love hearing that. So, and those are the kind of people in the music industry that are hard to find. And when you have it, you hang on to it. And it's like almost a family atmosphere, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've been looking through your bio, and I just wanted to tell some folks about you. A great songwriter. You've had cuts by Eurovision winner Charlie McGettigan. Is that his name? McGettigan?
That's right. Yeah.
And others. And of course, a great career. A couple of records that have reached the top of the album charts in Ireland and the UK. So congratulations on that. And this quote that I saw from Paul Williams, the songwriter Paul Williams, who's also president of ASCAP, one of the performing rights organizations that gets your royalties. He says, "Songs these beautiful." I'm going to get this right, I promise you. Songs this different, this beautiful, deserve to be heard, and I have to agree, Colin. So it's good to have you here on the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's good to be talking to you, Dave. No, not a problem.
I know we've been friends on the social for a little while, so yeah, to talk to you in person finally, that's pretty awesome. Thank you. You've got this new record out, and it's Digging the Idle Flower. Talk a little bit about that and the process, and then we're going to play a little song from that, your latest single, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm somebody who kind of, I find that the recording studio atmosphere tends to be, for me, a little bit stultifying. And so I'm always looking to take that. You know, when Bob Dylan went to make Time Out of Mind, Daniel Lanois constructed a studio for him somewhere. I think it was like an abandoned burlesque studio in New Orleans. And I love the idea of having good people on board, good musicians, a great producer, which in this case I had an outstanding producer in Aidan Duffy. And basically we built a studio in an old Georgian house in the heart of Dublin, the house itself was built in 1832. So you can imagine the spooky vibes, but it was a beautiful experience. We recorded the album over the space of 2.5 days with some great musicians, Niamh Keane, Alva Keogh, Ciara Dalton. Of course, Aidan and his brother Ben played on the record. The experience itself was gorgeous. And so I'm deeply proud of the record. And I'm proud of everybody who performed on it. And the way radio in this country and the UK have responded to it has been incredible. So it's a testament to the hard work that everybody put into the record.
Of course, that makes you pretty busy too, because the demand to tour for the record, right? Getting out there, huh?
Yeah. I feel a bit like a postcard at the moment, Dave. I'm being sent from pillar to post. Yeah. And that's going to continue right up until the end of the year. But look, I wouldn't have it any other way. I think every artist in one way, shape or form, this is all you really want, is there to be a positive response to your work, and then you get to bring it out in the road.
You work hard to get to that point. And I think the real payday is when you're out in front of that audience and you're playing and feeling the reaction to the music. It's got to be special, huh?
It is, Dave, but at the same time, I'm a firm believer in the adage that you have to love it first. There's no point in making a record, and I know there's lots of people who do for the sake of commerciality and all that, but I believe you have to love the record first. I listen to Rick Rubin on podcast a lot, and he talks about that the audience should come last. Now, I know that might be a little bit dismissive to listeners, and it's not meant to be, but it's from a creative perspective, I think. If you can't stand beside the songs and say, this is my batch of material, I'm proud of them, I worked hard at crafting them, and now I'm happy for them to go into the world, I don't think anybody will respond to them in any way positively, be it a DJ, a podcaster, a listener, or somebody buying a ticket. So it's really important that the first vibrations that they feel when they come into the world is care, to be honest with you. And that's where, I mean, we're talking about songwriting, and it all comes down to craft.
I've always heard you've got to love yourself first, right? So,
yeah,
so tell me, when you first heard the mix down of the album "Digging the Idle Flower," "Source of Pride," what'd you think?
I'll tell you the truth, Dave. I heard the mix the day that it went to the record label, because a little bit like an actor,
really?
I can't.
Not until it was released. Yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah, I don't. I had nothing but faith in my producer, Aidan. We both have similar tastes. We both, you know, albums like There Goes Rhyme and Simon, Blood in the Tracks by Bob Dylan, Teeth of the Tellerman by Cat Stevens. Those are the albums we were raised on. And so I just wanted a similar kind of warmth and a similar kind of energy, and I trusted that he'd get that. So nothing was changed. Nothing was altered. I didn't have any edit notes from him. I heard it when you heard it.
Wow. That's interesting. Very good. To have that kind of trust in your producer, that's fantastic. Well, let's talk about your single, your current single, which is Song for Sam. And this is a song you wrote, and tell us the story behind it, and then I'll play it.
Yeah, Song for Sam. So I'm a huge fan of the music of Harry Chapin, and Harry's probably his most notable song is Cats in the Cradle, and that's, as far as I'm aware, it was kind of an apocryphal poem that his wife Sandy wrote, warning him, you know, if you let the road get the better of you, you're going to turn into the guy in this song. And this song, Song for Sam, was written for my godson, Sam. He's the son of my Auntie Anne-Marie, and I was very flattered when he was born in 2017 to be asked to be his godfather. And so I wanted to write kind of a message, little points of note, you know, lines of experience that I've garnered over the years, like, be sure to eat your greens, know a thank you from a please, laughter can cure winter's cold, and money never grows on trees, you know, that kind of thing. And it, you know, it's the track itself is two guitars and a vocal, and that's it. And of all the songs from the album, this one seems to be the best received by radio. So yeah, I'm deeply proud of it.
Very good. Well, let's play it. Song for Sam. Colin Gavin is our guest on the Songwriter Connection as we approach St. Patty's Day. Don't go away.
Little man, my wide-eyed boy, for you the whole world's new. Every day's a trip on the Ferris wheel or a picnic at the zoo. I don't know much of aeroplanes or the old man on the moon, but I can sing of all the things I've seen, and I wrote this just for you. Be sure to eat your greens and know a thank you from a please, that laughter can cure a winter's cold and money never grows on trees. Each morning, go and chase the dreams you dream of every night. And no matter what you do, you'll find your mother's always right. Like the gentle old folks say, count your blessings every day. Be kind to those that need it most, that means everyone. Be sure to look before you leap, case your shoelace is undone. I hope you find the kind of friends that make the days go by so fast. When the time comes, find the perfect words to ask your first true love to dance. Like the winter folks all say, have a jolly holiday, whether it's Kwanzaa, Passover, or day one at the Kentucky Derby. I was never all that good in school, but one thing I know is true. No matter how many big books I read, I'll never be as smart as you. I can hold you now, but not for long, 'cause the years roll by so soon. No matter what you might grow up to be, I'll always be so proud of you.
Isn't that a sweet song? A great message. Colin Gavin is our guest on the Songwriter Connection podcast, and he joins us via phone. It's actually a WhatsApp from Dublin, Ireland. Hello, once again. What a great song.
Thanks, Dave.
Don't you love apps like WhatsApp? You know, back in my radio days, it would have been a long distance call. It would have cost a lot of money to talk to you over the way over there. So, yeah. But here we are.
I know, across the Atlantic. Well, the beauty of technology, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Which has changed so much of the music business, too, for good and bad. And one of the cool things is we can discover artists like you. We played that through the Spotify app, and all of your music is there, both albums worth and other stuff, too. And I encourage people to reach out and listen. Now, you're no stranger to the States, too. You've toured a lot here in the United States, in Boston, the City Winery there. We've got one of those in Nashville. We'd like to get you in Nashville. Have you been to Nashville?
I have, yeah. About 2 years ago, I was down in Madison County, and I was on the set of a what would eventually become a Netflix documentary called Singing Upstream about artists from around the world.
Wow.
Artists based in Nashville, but also from California, Montana, from Idaho, from Connecticut, and myself as well. It was a brilliant, brilliant experience. We were working with the mighty Andy Dixon and Jeff Pulver. Wow. Down in Nashville. Andy's studio, unfortunately, since that time, was destroyed in one of the recent hurricanes. It was actually a tornado.
Yeah. We've had our share. We've had our share, unfortunately.
And it's one of the things we don't experience in Ireland, thankfully. But great people. And what I found about people from Tennessee in particular was a lot of similarities with the Irish, you know, that whole Southern hospitality thing and all that.
Yeah,
beautiful people.
Isn't that something? Yeah. So now, were you in that film that you talked about? Did they feature you a little bit in that?
Yeah, they did. So I think there was about 12 artists in total. Now, the documentary still hasn't come out yet for a multitude of reasons, but it will soon, fingers crossed.
So we'll
watch
for it.
But it was just kind of spotlighting.
Yeah.
And what's it called? Well, look, you know.
What's it called
again? Singing Upstream.
Singing Upstream.
Okay. Singing Upstream.
Yeah. You'll let us know when it's released, okay? Yeah.
Well, I will, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead. I cut you off.
No. So basically, the idea was looking at the perspectives of different songwriters from different countries, the natural difficulties that you encounter, the songwriting process, and then obviously getting to team up with artists from different backgrounds and how that blended. And there was a lot of laughs in between. So it was great.
So let's talk a little bit about your songwriting process. And first of all, I'll ask you this. You're both a singer and a songwriter and a performer. What do you think was first in which do you consider yourself more of a writer or a performer or equally both? What do you think?
Yeah, well, when I was in secondary school, what you call high school, I had a great affinity for writing, and I had a brilliant English teacher, Michael Nolan. He's passed away since, but he gave me a lot of my early literary influences. So people like Edgar Allan Poe, obviously people like James Joyce, and Samuel Beckett, Dylan Thomas, and things like that. And
all the classics.
But I find with great poetry, there's almost a lyrical meter within it. And I had heard that when Bob Dylan spent his first year or two in Greenwich Village in New York, that he would set to music poems like The Bells by Edgar Allan Poe and things like that as a songwriting exercise. And so to begin with, that's kind of how I started off too. I'd take something by Dylan Thomas, like Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night, and set it to music just to understand verse structure and how to wrap chords around it and melody writing and stuff like that. So I suppose my introduction to the craft of songwriting began that way, I guess.
You know, I think that to me, that is a hard way to go. And I think of artists like Elton John, you know, where he would take a lyric from Bernie Taupin and turn it into into one of his melodies. Do you find it harder to work to a lyric and put music to it, or the other way around?
There's something that Stephen Sondheim used to say, that content dictates style and form. And I think if it's a musical theme in mind or a lyrical theme in mind, like personally, I do a lot of co-writing, and I find it easier to put music to a lyric than lyric to music. So personally speaking, Dave, I find if I'm given a sheet of lyrics, there's something about iambic pentameter, you know, your four lines to a couplet or whatever, that has a suggested structure. From there, it's a little bit easier to decide, okay, this is definitely the chorus, this is definitely the verse, this could make a good middle eight. So I would much rather the task of setting music to lyrics than putting lyrics to music, but that's just me.
On Songwriter Connection, we learn something every show, and when a new term is thrown out, I always like to mention it. And it's not a new thing, but and you may have heard before, the middle eight. So if you could define what we mean by the middle eight, Colm, that would be helpful.
Okay, so I think of it in emotional terms. So if the song is about trying to win somebody back, trying to win the favor of somebody, maybe a broken relationship, a friendship, that kind of thing, the middle eight section of the song is what I like to refer to as the could have been. It's where you take a sidestep to the sentiment, a sidestep to the music. A lot of great songwriters, Paul McCartney, Gilbert O'Sullivan, will use the middle eight as a time to key change or to modulate and then come back again. And I think the middle eight suggests and option C. If a verse and chorus has been giving you option A and B the whole time, here's your alternative option C. That's my half-hearted way of explaining it in the Middle East.
So kind of the bridge of the song, huh?
Oh, exactly, yeah. That's what it is.
I've also heard it referred to, sometimes there isn't a bridge, there's a like a guitar solo or something, a solo in that middle eight, and then they go back to the chorus. So an interesting term, and it's something that, as a songwriter, you need to be aware of. To give that little change up, and our friend Mark Allen Barnett, who does a lot of teaching of songwriting here in Nashville, is a mentor to a lot of great songwriters in this town, used to always say about the middle eight of the bridge, he'd say, this is like, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, in conclusion, this is what we've learned, you know, that kind of thing. Do you agree?
Yeah. I do, yeah. Or maybe it suggests an ulterior. Like so rock and roll fans would be familiar with Guns N' Roses' November Rain. So when Slash comes out with that little chapel in the desert and plays a solo, that could be considered the middle section.
Yeah.
It's just a way of breaking up the structure of a song, I suppose. Not every song has them.
Yeah.
But like Song for Sam, for example, doesn't, I don't think, that it's a middle section because there's no chorus. It's just like a refrain in the verse. And I never mentioned the name Sam.
And you never do. Yes. I was going to ask you about that.
No, I never do.
Yeah, you never do. And you bring up another good point. Not every song needs or deserves a bridge or a middle eight, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So it depends, I think, too. And you talked about melodies versus lyrics. And I wanted to mention mood in there and something that we like to call prosody. For instance, in a song, if you talk about you're falling, you don't want to say falling, you know, you don't want to bring that down. So, you know, moods, it's melody moods and melding with the lyrics. It's so important, isn't it?
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me about some of the influence. Who did you listen to growing up that really influenced your style?
It was a mix of things, Dave. I studied through the classical method in the Clondalkin School of Music, which was kind of a musical academy in the town where I come from in Dublin. Mm-hmm. And so my teacher would have exposed me to a lot of classical music, Rachmaninoff, Chopin, Mahler, and then sidelong to that, obviously, the writings of Lennon and McCartney, Gilbert and Sullivan, Lieber and Stoller, a lot of stuff from the Great American Songbook, Jerome Kern, George and Ira Gershwin, Irving Berlin, and then showed how their songwriting techniques could be applicable to, say, the music of the 1970s. So like Randy Van Warmer, James Taylor, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, Jim Croce, all the people who I love today and probably have the closest affinity to. And I'm deeply grateful for that, because even to this day, it's the mechanics of songwriting that I get a great thrill out of, which is why, sidelong to my own material, I love writing with other artists and for other artists in Ireland. I write with some spectacular artists on the country scene. I think of people like Sinead Black and Claudia Buckley, people who I just have so much respect for. And so when they put trust and faith in you to write something for them, to pitch an idea, or they bring an idea to you, that I associate that with a great deal of responsibility and care. So if someone comes to me with that degree of trust, that's a great honor for me.
Oh, I bet it is. And that's one of my favorite things to do, co-write with other artists. And boy, you've really studied the craft of songwriting in years, haven't you, Colin? Really?
Yeah, but Dave, honestly, it's been like an ongoing love affair. There's nothing about it that bores me. I never walk away from a writing session, and I never write in the room with somebody else, or at least very seldom, but I never walk away from it not having learned something or not having dug deeper into the thoroughfare, if that makes sense. Because I personally feel, and I sort of dip in and out of a multitude of genres. There's a little bit of jazz on this record, a little bit of classical, certainly in the arrangements anyway. And I'm forever a student. I think the greatest advice you could give a songwriter is approach every day like a student or like a novice, and you'll never walk away not having gained something.
Man, I want to emphasize that point. That is so good, and that's so true. And I do, too. And every songwriting session I'm in, I feel that I've learned something and have taken away something. Everybody has something to offer. And, it is a learning experience every time you're in the room writing a song. And you learn from the song, and you learn from the artist and the people that you're writing with, too. So you play guitar and piano?
I do.
What was your first instrument? Was it piano?
Oddly enough, it was piano, but then eventually became guitar. So I mentioned that I studied at the Clondalkin School of Music with my teacher, who would be my teacher of 15 years, Peter Stanton. And one of his perennial rules was that if you're going to study with me, you're going to do exams. Because when you, every musician goes through a point in their life and in their career where they begin to doubt themselves and doubt their abilities. But he at least wanted me to have an education so that I had a wellspring of knowledge to tap into. Because what I find with self-taught musicians, and I don't discredit it at all.
Wonderful.
But I'm quite lazy. So if I didn't understand the musical alphabet, if I didn't understand the mechanics of it, I think I'd run out of ideas from my own mind very quickly. So understanding theory and understanding how to modulate, how to write sheet music, how to, you know, how melodies are created, that's an enterprise that I only know because of him and from all my years studying with him. And it's something that I'm hugely indebted to him for. So I love the craft, but I never stopped studying and I never stopped learning.
One of the things I learned from a publisher meeting, they looked down a list of all of my my songs in my catalog, and they said, Dave, if as I look at these, I look for titles that stick out to me that make me want to know what this song is all about, and that it makes me want to listen. And I do the same thing ever since, and I'm looking down the tracks of Digging the Idle Flower. First of all, tell me about that title. Where'd that come from? And then I'll get back to my
Something my granny used to say to me about the idea of the devil makes work for idle hands. Uh-huh. And I suppose in Ireland anyway, a lot of people would look upon, songwriter, an idler is somebody who just flitters away the time doing whatever. And the digging the idle flower is kind of, I'm digging or feeling the idea of being the individual who makes things out of nothing, I suppose, because that's what songwriting is. It's very hard to explain to people who don't do it how you just pull these ideas out of the sky.
It's
a convoluted kind of thing.
So basically, we're digging the idle flower today with Colm Gavin. So I was running down the list and I was talking about songs that you just have to hear. You have to figure out, what are they all about? So I see the second track is Katie Macaroni. Katie Macaroni? Yeah. There's got to be a story, huh?
Oh, yeah, you've opened a can of worms now.
So, that's what I tend to do.
Well, Katie, when I was younger, I spent a lot of time in my grandparents' house. And I always say, Dave, that I'm one of what eventually became six grandchildren. And I feel like I was the first. And, they say the first pancake is really just to warm up the pan. And when I would stay with them, they didn't have an awful lot of children's literature. But one book that they did have was by Edward Gorey, and it was called The Gashly Crumb Tinies, which is a slim volume that teaches children the alphabet by using the first letter of the first names of orphans and how they die. This is one of the books that my granny used to read to me. And it would be things like D is for Desmond, flung from a sleigh, E is for Ernest, who wasted away. And I loved that sort of Gothic Edwardian literature that Edward Gorey was so good at. And when I studied journalism and 18th century literature when I was in college, and I had to write a screenplay, and I was very much thinking and being influenced by Edward's work. So I wrote this story of these, it was the coming of age. I call it a John Hughes for Gothics. And it was basically about these two guys who were fighting over a girl, and the three of them try to break out of an orphanage, and the two lads are so consumed with arguing with each other that they don't realize that the girl doesn't make it, and she was named Katie Macaroni. And I liked the rhythm of Katie Macaroni, and so I swore one day I'd write a song centered around that, and that's kind of the song is about. This is it, yeah.
Good. I'm going to play it right after this very short break. Don't go away. Katie Macaroni coming up with Colm Gavin on the Songwriter Connection.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection, connecting with music makers and hearing their songs and stories. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
We're on the phone with Colm Gavin from Dublin, Ireland, as we celebrate St. Paddy's Day. We're talking about his new record, Digging the Idle Flower. And he just explained the story behind Katie Macaroni's. Let's give it a listen. Colm, here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4. Heart of a child with a Susie doll smile, pretty as a pocket of dimes. Laughter little rumble like a bundle of sunsets, echoing a million times. Did no one ever wonder about the blunders you've shouldered, teardrops in the penny arcade? Lonely candy cigarettes, the sun when it's colder, bursting by the tree where we lay. Katie Macaroni, summertime mountain is never far away. Katie Macaroni, I got a feeling we're going one day. Boil a dozen eggs for all the Cracker Jack children. The prize will be the look on your face. Frankie's up the chimney, Dougie's pigs in a poke. Flip a coin and put them all in their place. I'll never understand how you kept clouds from pouring when Lola blew her kisses goodbye. For me, I've always thought of us as violets in milk jugs, a blizzard in the month of June. Katie Macaroni, bubblegum sweethearts is all we're bound to be. Katie Macaroni, you'll always mean more to me. You threw the I Ching for a pair in pajamas, then pretending like it's right after midday, the light when cutting corners, it's just something we do. Susie doll smile, pretty as a pocket of dimes.
J.D. Macaroni. It does kind of sing even when you say it, doesn't it? It does.
Well, that was the hope.
Colm Gavin is our guest from Dublin, Ireland, on the Songwriter Connection. It's good to have you on the show. You know, you're talking about your grandma telling you those stories, and I flash back to my grandma Lenahan on my dad's side. And I had lots of cousins. She had lots of grandkids. And one of the favorite times was bedtime at night, all crawling into bed and grandma telling us a story and singing Irish songs to us. I tell you, if she was here today and you were to sing Danny Boy, she would be in a pool of tears. She really would. She was Irish through and through and could speak with that brogue, and I loved it. So, and I miss her so much. Thanks for that memory. Yeah. You know,
you're more than welcome.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, it's funny because the Lennons coming from Limerick, my granny and my grandfather came from Clare, which is a county over. So we do, yeah. We have that connection there.
How about that? Wow. Pretty neat. Yep, that was. And my grandma always said it was spelled Lenahan. We're related somehow because there was. It's other ways to spell it. My dad said when he got off the plane when they flew to Ireland, he said the guy checking his passport said, "Well, that's not how we spell it here." You know, I guess some of them put a G in it, and some it's Lenihan. And it wasn't like a minister of defense or something. Was Lenahan in Ireland? Wasn't it? I think he was
Brian Lenahan.
Brian Lenahan.
Yeah.
Lenahan, I think it was. So now the other,
that's right. Yeah.
The other half of my family was Italian. And I say this because as I'm looking down the list of songs on Digging the Idle Flower, your new record, you have a song called Italian Conversation, number 19 and number 27. Oh, that's got to hearken a little bit to Dylan, huh? A little bit? No.
Oh, more than a little bit. Rainy Day Women.
Yeah. Rainy Day Women. Yeah. So tell us about Italian Conversation. Then we're going to play that one too.
Yeah, in fairness, yeah, that's really where, I mean, Bob Dylan, when I think of the crowning jewel of my influences, he's right there, dead center. And I always, in title form, wanted to pay homage to him somehow. But I suppose lyrically, this song, and maybe a bit of Katie Macaroni too, but certainly this one, began its life as kind of a poem. I remember Dylan said, when he wrote Like a Rolling Stone, it came out like a piece of word vomit, and it was just... flow and that was how this was written. So basically I had a chorus that was totally separate and all of these verses, and I wanted to see if I could make the two meet. And they did, and I remember rehearsing it before going on stage, and the words, you know, when you hear some very quickly, my record producer Tim says it sounds like you're having an Italian conversation with yourself. So that's where the title comes from.
Well, let's give it a listen. Italian Conversation number 19 and 27. This is Colm Gavin on the Songwriter Connection podcast. Oh, I like that.
Another blister from the paper, or a cottonwood caper. Winter's mother's clouds would smother. You can't escape her past the olives, little Volavanto. I wonder, count the seconds after lightning to locate thunder, mother blue. How in the world do you do? Parking signs and vacant lots, pork chops, tater tots, a lane can pray for rain. When it pours, it never stops. Virginia, what's within you is what I'm falling for. Get messed up in a way like no one else has done before you. On a mattress for two. And it's true, I'm so in love with you. So in love with you. So in love with you. Cheek from Mozambique, midlife hide and seek, upchuck and look on hockey puck drive-ins every week, salacious, ostentatious, in last check places, see your teenage faults reflected in strangers' faces, I do, and I did it all for you. Charming corner cafe, I stole your heart away. One fast on trade disaster, but who cares anyway? Cause nights with you are precious when you speak sweet to me. Thank God I bet my hopes on a plane to Italy blue. I can see my whole life with you. And it's true, I'm so in love with you. 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 So in love with you.
Instrumentation of that is just absolutely amazing. Colin McGavin is our guest. That is Italian Conversation number 19 and 27 from Digging the Idlewood Flower, his latest release. Tell us about the instruments in that and how that all came together. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I can't take much credit for the playing. That's down to the brilliant Alva Kyo and Niamh Keane. So Niamh is playing violin there. And Alva's playing flute, and I'm just playing a little bit of piano. Wow. And the outro part, which I absolutely adore. Someone said to me recently, it sounds like, Watership Down or, that kind of thing. But rabbits running through a meadow or something. But Alva basically took the melody of the chorus and turned it major instead of minor. And that's the little refrain you hear at the end. It's lovely. Yeah, it's
that is really a clever thing to do. Ah, wow. Take the minor and make it major. See, this is that songwriting hints for you on the Songwriter Connection podcast. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So what's the next project for you? Do you know? Is it in the works?
Well, I tell you, for the next couple of months, Dave, I'm just going to be touring this record and bringing it to people. That, as I said, the response, I have to give huge credit to RT Radio 1 in Ireland who championed the album way before it came out. Like, they've been playing songs from it since October of last year and, and still do. And that kind of support from the national broadcaster is more than you can ever, you know how it is.
Oh, I bet.
More than you can ever ask for to get this stuff out, you know.
I can only imagine. So you're going to be touring pretty hot and heavy the next couple of months, huh?
I sure will. I've got, in Dublin, I'll be launching the album on the 18th of May in one of our most cherished venues, which is Whelan's on Wexford Street. And there's, the tickets went on sale this morning. By the time this airs, it may have sold out because I know that over half of them are already sold out. So that's
awesome.
That's next on the card, 18th of May.
Beautiful. Yeah. That's great. Coming up on the 18th of May. Wow. And then where does the tour take you this year?
Oh, all over the place. Myself and another brilliant Irish songwriter, Dee Cullen, are going to be doing gigs in all different parts of Ireland. My record label, Bio Records, which is the home of Moya Brennan and Enya, their father's venue, Leo's Tavern, in the most northerly point of Ireland, in County Donegal, the beautiful county of Donegal. I'll hopefully be doing a show there for the album as well. I'm playing a festival in England, in the UK, called Songfest, which is in a town called Rugby in Warwickshire. And that will have performances by the great Dean Friedman, Dean, who some of your listeners will know for songs like Well Well Said the Rockin' Chair, Ariel, Lucky Stars, and also another songwriter who I wasn't too familiar with to begin with, but his name is Mike Bass, and he wrote songs like Bright Eyes by Art Garfunkel, and he sort of introduced Katie Mellower, however you choose to say her name, he wrote a lot of songs for her, like 9 Million Bicycles in Beijing and wow. Nearest Thing to Crazy. So he'll be on the bill too. And Vince Gill and a whole bunch of brilliant artists. And
did you say Vince Gill?
Vance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
That's the national.
My Irish accent isn't that strong.
Do you have a trip to the States coming up?
Yeah, potentially. It's something that's going to be a little bit of a surprise. So I don't want to give too much away. But suffice to say, But suffice to say, yeah, I will be before the summer is out anyway.
Great. Let me play another song from Digging the Idle Flower. Anything in particular you'd like me to feature and talk about? Or do you just want me to pick one?
I'll leave it up to you. Maybe It's Starting to Feel Like Love. That was another one of the singles from the album.
Okay, let's do that. Tell us about It's Starting to Feel Like Love.
Well, again, as I mentioned earlier on in the conversation, people like Irving Berlin and George and Ira Gershman would have been a huge influence on my music. And I remember hearing Richard Carpenter of The Carpenters saying that, I can't remember if it's, because I'm going to get this wrong, but there's like a Gregory Peck film or a Jimmy Stewart film where he's a famous songwriter and he's only known for writing one song. And the song is called Goodbye to Love.
Oh, wow.
And in the movie, you never hear the song. And so The Carpenters wrote this song, I'll Say Goodbye to Love, inspired by that. And I wrote this one, exactly, that's exactly it. And so when I wrote this, I was kind of imagining somebody like Jimmy Cagney or Gregory Peck in a, you know, like a Casablanca type scene, smoking a Parliament cigarette and turning to their buddy and saying, you know, Sam, it's really starting to feel like love. And then being underscored by it, that kind of thing.
Play it, Sam. I think I'll play it. Okay. Starting to Feel Like Love. Colm Gavin, our guest on the Songwriter Connection podcast.
Did you ever know the birds to whistle in harmony? Breeze and trees keeping time, 'cause that's what she does to me. A melody autumn sings, but sweeter than all these things, endearing and nonchalant, and all I could ever want. She swears she won't kiss and tell, still we go like hand in glove. It's new though, I can't deny, it's starting to feel like love. New though, I can't deny, it's starting to feel like love. While I'm someone of simple means, she goes wild for the finer. Paris balcony with a view, I'm more an early bird lunch for two. Charming beyond compare, a face I keep dreaming of, the moon dancing through her hair, it's starting to feel like love. A smile I see everywhere, it's starting to feel like love.
Wow. It's just beautiful. Colm Gavin is our guest on the Songwriter Connection podcast. That's from his brand new album, which is called Digging the Idle Flower. And Colm, thank you for bringing a bit of Ireland to us here around the dining room table at Songwriter Connection. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and great to talk to a fellow Irishman halfway across the Atlantic.
Halfway across the Atlantic. Usually we do music live around this dining room table in my studio, so next time you're in the States, you come to Nashville, we'll plug your piano or your guitar in, and we'll just play music live around this studio, this dining room studio. So is that sound like a good deal to you?
I'm going to hold you to that, Dave, so don't drop the invitation.
No, you have an open invitation. So tell us a little bit about where we find you online. You've got your own website, right?
Well, the two sites that I use mainly are Facebook and Instagram. So on Facebook, it's Colm Gavin Music, and on Instagram, it's just Colm Gavin, all one word, squashed together. And Instagram have given me one of those blue ticks, so you know it's me, and it's not the Colm Gavin in a bunker somewhere. You
know? or in West Africa or something. C-O-L-M is how it's spelled, right? Yeah.
That's it, exactly. G-A-V-I-N. Yeah.
All right. Colm, thank you so much, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you and everyone listening here today.
Mm-hmm. And to you, too, sending you all the best of everything from the Emerald Isle. And I can say that and sound tacky because it's St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, it is. It's so good to get to talk to you and know you, my friend. All the best. And thank you again.
Take care of yourself, Dave. All the best.
Thank you for listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast. Find us on social media at Songwriter Connection. Also, listen to Dave Lanahan's Nashville Connections radio show. It streams live every Friday morning on WOBL and WNOI. Look for us on Facebook and YouTube. See you next time on Songwriter Connection.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.